ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, with my co-host, Lugs.
Lugs, how's it going, everybody?
Lugs, I am super excited.
Why?
This is just a really exciting week. We had an awesome race, we have awesome fans, and we're about to have an awesome time this next weekend.
And we're coming off an awesome race.
That's Chicagoland. It's an awesome race, yeah. Awesome fans, and going to be an awesome weekend. So fans, as always, we want to thank you. A special call out to Dan Cameron from Scotland. He reached out to us, talked to us a little bit. A couple of things that he said. He thinks he might be the only person that likes boogity, boogity, boogity. And he might be right. What's your take on that there, Lugs? You think so?
Well, you know where I stand from listening to the episode last week. So
yeah, so Dan, thanks for writing us a couple notes. One is your note about Clint Bowyer. If he was to win the championship, that would be one of the most popular championships of all time, I think.
What was it? What was the note?
Just that he thinks that he hopes that Bowyer wins the championship, or he has Bowyer down to win the championship. So that'd be a very exciting championship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how ecstatic he gets over a win. Think if he got a championship.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be super awesome. So for what you said with that, I hope you're right with that. And it does suck that you work the night shift. Lugs and I have had the glory of working night shift for several years.
It's true.
So people like you make the world go around. We appreciate it. And I'm going to ask two favors of you, Mr. Cameron. First is that we always drink Busch on the episode. Tell us some kind of Scottish beer that we have to try. Maybe if we can find some, we'll drink it on episode once. Just out of celebration of our Scottish friends. Two, tell your UK buddies about us. You know, you say you're a part of a Facebook group for NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them all about us. Get them listening to the show as well. We actually do have a presence in the UK. We have a presence in Australia. And, of course, the good old US of A. Talking about the good old US of A, we are heading to 4th of July week. And that's why we are recording on a Monday and not a Wednesday. Out of celebration of the freedoms we're given on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrations of the United States of America and to blow our fingers off of fireworks.
Hopefully not, but maybe.
So fans, not just Mr. Cameron, but to all of you out there, thank you for listening, thank you for telling a friend, and thank you for keep telling friends all about us. So this week we go to the great state of Illinois, great in some eyes. Some people may not think so, but let's just say Chicagoland itself is pretty nice. The race, not necessarily Chicagoland itself. I used to live there. So fans, great racing. Let's get the show on the road. We have to start off with our Busch. All right. Do want to remind everybody, this week's going to be a little bit different on the way we handle things. So we're doing an episode on Monday compared to our normal Wednesday. But later in this week, Lugs and I will be in Daytona. And throughout our time in Daytona, we'll be constantly updating via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And we'll probably also do some small podcasts.
Yeah.
Episode, just like update from the stands.
Couple
update.
Minutes here, there.
Yeah, so there might be like four or five episodes over this weekend, just a small updates and stuff, everything going on. So
might just get a pack of cars racing by.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, never know. It's exciting stuff. And also, fans, like Dan sent us that email. Please reach out to. We love it. Actually made my day.
Yeah.
I opened that up while I was at work, and I actually enjoyed work.
Yeah.
Because I read his email. Now, I was thinking about the stuff he sent his email and not work, so it's pretty nice. So, thank you again, Dan, and hopefully you like this week's episode as well. Fantastic ending to the race.
Fantastic battle.
Yeah, okay, yes.
That's my fan side coming out here.
We don't have to reiterate my feelings about Mr. Busch on this episode. I think it's kind of well established, although I do respect the guy more than I did based off his interview with Dale Jr., etc. He's still a crybaby. He still rubs me wrong.
He's got talent. There's no denying that. But
so congratulations, because I mean that was a hell of a drive. He had a shitty car, and he actually ended up winning the race.
Whoa, language.
Crappy car. I'm sorry for kids who are listening. I apologize.
But that's true. I mean, he qualified outside the top 10. He didn't even finish top 10 in any of the first two stages. I don't think anybody really kind of saw him.
Nobody
as a contender.
No one see him as a winner.
No.
No one.
Not even a contender. And then, you know, he must have hit the sweet spot on that car or something because, you know, sure enough, here he comes.
Yeah. And not just him, but there's a lot of good storylines throughout this race.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll start hitting some of these storylines. So the one that really stood out to me is Clint Bowyer, two laps down. He comes back and finishes fifth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Heck of a comeback.
Yep. Also saw a good performance out of his teammate, Eric Almirola.
Actually, the whole Stewart Haas team. So Eric Almirola, sorry about that, folks. Eric Almirola was leading, doing exceptionally well, pulling away from Kevin Harvick, and then he ended up having a loose wheel. Come in, fix that. A little bit later, just move his way back up through the pack, and guess what? Another loose wheel. Poor guy cannot catch a break.
You know, Kurt Busch was up there racing for the lead with Harvick. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I want to talk about that in depth a little bit. But
me too.
They were all up there leading laps, contending. So good day for Stewart Haas for sure. I know they didn't obviously get the win, but still flexing muscle across all four cars. So
a couple other notes throughout the race. Kyle Larson actually had an issue in the pits and had to go way at the back of the pack. And he worked his way back up to, finishing second.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I really liked about this race was there was so many racing grooves. People could actually come back from issues. You could make passes and stuff.
It was just kind of the typical 1.5-mile track.
It didn't seem like it was your so aero-dependent track, you know what I mean, where the one person that gets out in front takes away because they've got the clean air. Like, I feel like that was, it was a little bit of a neutralizer this week. It wasn't really as much of an issue.
There's a little bit of that, but not. I agree that to the extent that the previous weeks of stuff...
Yeah, it wasn't brought up as prevalent.
And you had vehicles, cars that were makers, and you had some that were, just couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you did have that. So you did have people making passes. It may be more of... Not so much the car being awesome as it was maybe the car they're going against just was loose or tight.
Right.
But Larson, riding that rim, man, he really put on a show. It was really awesome.
It's his preferred driving style, that's for sure. So Bowyer had two penalties, like you said. Did they ever say, what was it? Were they just off on the calibration of, the RPMs there? And what?
I don't remember them saying it all or discussing it.
Yeah, I didn't think I caught anything either there. So, kind of interesting. You don't see that very often. Somebody get two penalties back to back like that.
Yeah.
So
only Dale Jr. because Dale Jr. is horrible at getting to the pits.
Yeah. Well.
Constantly, it was getting
Hamlin.
Yeah,
a few years ago.
We discussed Hamlin as well before. Man, what about the heat this week? They showed Kurt Busch's car and it got 152 or 158 mm-hmm. degrees in that mm-hmm. car. It does suck. You talk about drivers losing between 8 and 11 pounds during
the
race.
Yeah, it actually got so hot in Allgaier's car in the Xfinity race Saturday, it broke the thermometer, and it just said high. It was broken.
Yeah, it just said, ooh, damn, it's hot.
Yeah.
And talking about the Xfinity race, he had some drivers doing double duty, such like Chase Elliott. So Chase had to get IV fluids after the Xfinity race
mm-hmm.
to make sure he was rebounding or recouped enough for the Cup race.
And let's talk about that for a second. So Kyle Larson won the Xfinity race, almost went on to win the Cup race, which obviously just came up a little bit short there, but almost swept the weekend.
How short was he? 3 foot, maybe? To clearing Kyle?
Yeah, probably.
But what a great finish. And we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. So let's talk about the whole teammate issue that I think you were alluding to earlier when you mentioned Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
So for the fans who didn't see the race, or maybe they did and forgot about it, coming to, I think it was stage one or stage two end, Harvick pushed Busch hard. And actually, I don't know if they got together, but it was really close. I know Harvick almost hit the wall.
Yeah, Harvick was real close to the wall.
Harvick stuck his finger out the window, kind of give him a thumbs up and stuff to Busch. See, hey, good job, good racing, it was fun. And Busch is on the radio saying, that's a teammate!
Yeah.
So kind of going off about the whole thing. So it kind of looked like, to me, two different attitudes going into that. So was it a Busch being a Busch, or what do you think the situation was, Lugs?
I think it's a little bit of frustration for the fact that your teammate's got 5 wins this season, and you have none, and you're racing your ass off trying to get all that you can, and he doesn't cut you a break. So I think that's what.
But
that is
he owed a break?
No, he's not owed a break.
Okay.
But that's I can see where his frustrations are, but that's where it's coming from. You guys are under the same roof, same equipment, and he's got 5 wins, and you can't even establish a stage win, So I think that's where it's coming from. How about you?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. One, he's not owed anything. Man, sorry, folks. That beer's getting to me.
But, I mean, I think they just, you know, that's a hat tip to the stage racing. Like,
it is, and sometimes stage racing, it really doesn't do anything, but this right here maybe almost, like, reevaluate the stage racing. Yeah. It actually made me feel good about the stage racing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. And someone in the booth's like, man, I love stage racing. I can't remember who it was. It may have been Dale Jr. I don't know. So the race overall, I think, was a decent race. There was passing. There was overall, there was some excitement throughout the whole race.
Yeah.
Definitely the fans got their money's worth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Other weekends, we can't necessarily say that, but this weekend we could.
So let's talk about money's worth here. So, I mean, that finish, it's hard to really say how awesome it was. Even if you're a Larson fan or a Busch fan or you don't support either of those drivers, you got to admit that was an awesome finish, right?
Yes. So are we going to go ahead and just talk about the
finish? Might as well.
Okay. So first, did you have a direct question on that? Like, just what was their feelings on, was it money's worth? Is that what you're going
to
ask?
Yeah, I mean, that to me was one of the, if not the best finish of 2018. I'm going to say that. That's the best finish of 2018.
Yeah, and some people are putting it as a top five in history. And I don't know if I agree with top five in history, but definitely top 10.
I think it's close. I'd say top 10, yeah, top 10 history. It's not quite up there with, you know, your...
What about the other Busch brother?
With your other Craven, Kurt Busch,
Bobby
and Darlington.
Bobby and Dale at...
Yeah. It's not Atlanta. Quite there, but it's definitely top 10. It's definitely top 10. And I just hat tip to Larson, man. He drifted that thing after contact with Kyle through the rest of the corner.
So
gathered it up, downshifted.
Yes.
And came back to the line for second. Like,
yes. So let's discuss that real quick there, Lug. So even if I'm not the biggest fan of Kyle Busch, because I'm not, I give the guy credit. The guy is a wheel man. And we've discussed that in other episodes. That guy can drive.
Mm-hmm.
Larson, the guy can drive. Larson actually reminds me so much when Kyle was younger. Kyle still gets emotional and frustrated and does stupid crap.
Mm-hmm.
But when Kyle was younger, he would hit the freaking wall because he'd try too hard. Yeah. He wasn't finesse. And that's what Larson's doing.
Yeah.
Larson is toting that edge, and he hasn't learned to stay on this side of that edge. He keeps crossing the boundary a little bit. And I mean, all power to the guy. He's doing awesome and doing great. And they're both wheel man. Once Larson learns to walk on this side of that ledge a little bit, the dude's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah, and just a slight piece of information, statistical information that backs that theory. Guess how many times Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson have finished 1 and 2?
At one point, I heard it during the race. It was like 8 times.
It is 8 times.
Okay.
After yesterday's race, it's 8 times. Guess who's won every single time?
Kyle Busch. Yes, I heard that stat. And here comes Kyle Larson coming up, challenging. I mean, he's just cutting the deficit just in tremendous, exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I message you, hey, who'd I pick this week again? And you're like, Larson. I'm like, yeah, duh. I was kidding because Larson's on the way up. I thought for sure Larson was just going to fly past Busch and take the victory.
And I think he could have, man. I know the laps.
He overdrove it and tapped the freaking wall.
Yeah, I think if he could redo, hit the reset button, I think he could have got by him with sheer speed. You know, now would the roles be changed? And then Kyle Busch try to do the slide job on Larson, and you know, who knows what it could have, would have, should have there.
Before we talk about roles reversed, okay, let's take a step back real quick, okay, Lugs. Was the ending valid? Was it expected? Is it okay Kyle Busch did what he did?
Yeah.
I agree. And fans, again, you know I'm not the biggest Kyle Busch fan. And if you've seen Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you've seen the shirt I made for Daytona this coming week. If you had not, my shirt I'm going to wear to Daytona that I made says Kyle Busch. Dumping more dudes than Taylor Swift. So what I'm getting to, folks, is that Kyle Busch, do I agree with it? Well, it doesn't matter if I agree with it. It was racing.
Straight up racing.
It was exciting.
Racers just want to win. They're going to wreck their mother to win. So that's why it was
And it was valid. He didn't do anything wrong in my book. Now, let's take it a step further. During the race, he did nothing wrong. After the race, he did everything
wrong.
Yeah,
he didn't win any fans. If he was just more humble about the situation than balling a fist up to his face and acting like a crybaby, all right, dude, that's just...
If you don't know what we're talking about, there's a video on our Facebook page.
You're just not doing yourself any justice there.
So basically, all the fans are booing Kyle, and he gets out and does like a crybaby face to the fans.
I feel like any positive momentum he made by going on the Dale Jr. Podcast a few weeks ago, he just lost it yesterday.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. So now let's get back to that roles reverse we discussed. Let's say Kyle and Kyle, their positions were reversed. And Kyle Busch finished second, and Larson won the race. What do you think Busch's feelings would have been?
Oh, he would have been just absolutely throwing a fit. I guarantee it.
Acting like a baby. So, Larson, super respectful, absolutely expected it, 100% said, hey, that's racing. That's what we loved it, and the fans loved it, blah, blah. Kyle Larson was like a kid in the candy shop that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Busch would have been like a kid in a candy shop that it was told no.
Yeah.
You know, that was
temper
reversed.
Tantrum, yeah. Throwing things, kicking, screaming.
And we see that with both the Busch brothers. I don't know if they feel they're entitled. I don't understand, you know, the philosophy. You know, you remember back in the day when Jimmy Spencer put Kurt in his place? Very, very similar. Both the Busch brothers very similar in that aspect. So, absolutely, he won the race, and I have nothing against what he did. Is after the race, I lost a lot of respect for him. Now, I'm going to use it, parents. Hold your earmuff your kids right now, okay? Kyle Busch can be such a freaking douchebag. And people, you're warned that I was going to say something right there. But it bugs me that a guy in his position can have the... Where's the humbleness at?
He doesn't have any. Yeah.
I'm sitting on top of the world. Respect me. I'll respect you. Be my fan. He just like F you, like giving fingers to everybody, say I don't care about
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if he was driving the Monster Energy car or, you know, Kiss, like the Kiss radio band or something like that, like a car with that kind of sponsor, it wouldn't be such a big deal. But he's driving the most kid-friendly sponsor
Skittles,
out
yeah.
there. Mm-hmm. So as he acts like a kid. I guess it's fitting, but... It's just kind of funny that M&M's and Skittles and the whole M&M R's brand doesn't say, hey, dial it back a little bit, man. Be a little humble.
So saying that, why do you think he was booed before he did the crybaby?
Because people absolutely hate Kyle Busch.
Because he wasn't really booed when he won Richmond.
You're right. He wasn't. He actually...
And that was the week
actually,
that he went
we
on...
We talked about that being a turning point, did we not?
We did. We did.
And fans were actually happy for him. But here's the reason why fans were booing. Is that they're already on edge about their attitude towards Kyle Busch because his attitude towards them.
Mm-hmm.
That when he wrecked one of NASCAR's humble, great kids of the sport...
Upcoming. Hasn't got a win.
Yeah, Larson's got to win.
This year.
This win. Yeah, this year, you're right. So, but people respect Larson. The fans respect Larson because of the way he brings to the table. And then you have Busch do that to Larson,
mm-hmm.
or if it was Chase Elliott,
oh,
one
God.
Of those guys. Yeah, it just, that's what it was.
Can we just theorize on that? If that was Chase Sunday instead of Kyle Larson, Kyle would be a dead man right now. Let's just be honest. Because I don't think Chase Elliott's fans can take any more, like, near-miss wins.
Especially from a Joe Gibbs car.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, man. Like, let's just be thankful that wasn't this is the situation, because I think Kyle would be walking around with a dot on his head from a sniper.
a beer can tossed at him, whatever. And talking about that, guys, I do want to bring up a serious point here real quick. All over Twitter... There's people saying, I hope Kyle Rexon dies. Kyle should die.
Good
I mean,
grief.
It was all over Twitter, man. Guys, let's be more respectful. This damn political environment we're in right now is tearing everybody apart. And this is the kind of attitude we don't need to have. We are all fans of the sport, trying to be fans of the sport, hoping to be fans of the sport, and that the sport's going to come into the good graces of everybody again. And evolved to where we what once was. But we can't with attitudes like that. Yeah, okay, but how many times? I'm a Dale Senior fan. We all know that. How many times did he wreck? Let's just say Terry Abani, for example, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can reference that via our Facebook page. Lugs posted a nice little picture on that.
Yeah.
So, the same kind of thing. People loved the Intimidator. People hate Rowdy. And I think part of it is that Senior was not a prick about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what it was.
So
nobody
Kyle,
likes a prick.
No, exactly. So, Kyle, if he was to laugh it off occasionally,
just
joke
get
about
out of the car
bit,
and say, damn, that was fun. I cannot believe that.
Have an attitude like Larson had.
Exactly. But
things would be a whole different.
When you get out of the car and you're acting like you're on a high horse and just, you know, like you're untouchable, man, that is what people don't like about him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care, so it's never going to change.
And not only does he not care, I think he stopped caring about 3 years ago. Now he uses that negative
to
impression
get back at the fans.
To get back to the fans. Yeah, so I think he's now past the point of caring about it and using it as fuel to, again, figuratively, not actually,
which
giving
is,
the middle
which
finger
is
to all the fans.
Which is kind of sad for him because he could really garner
that guy
the
could
respect
have
of
the
some
next
fans.
Coming junior fan base.
Exactly.
He absolutely could if he just
would dial it back.
Humble.
Yeah.
Eat some humble pie.
Because, I mean, look at how many people booed Gordon through the 90s when he was winning all the time.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah.
And guess what? When he retired, I was actually sad. I got to a point where I respected
but
Jeff.
But it didn't take him retiring. You
no,
know?
No, it came way before that.
Yeah,
but I'm
exactly.
just saying I was sad when he retired because I actually started respecting
right.
the guy because he brought so much to the sport positively.
Yes, and he was humble. When he did win, he never shoved it in other people's face or mocked the fans whenever they got mad about him winning. So he just needs some self-reflection, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I think someone should punch him in the face once. Just like Jimmy Spencer. No. I'm not. I'm saying kind of make him humble. Make him take a step back. And I'm not saying for fans to walk up and deck Kyle Busch in the face. I'm not saying that. Well, I'm saying that you almost need a good Jimmy Spencer to come in there, piss off another racer, and that racer comes over and decks him right in the face. And just the good old boys, let's settle the score here. Let's send him back to planet Earth just a little bit, right? Because right now, he's living on Mars, man.
Well,
he's out of touch.
I mean, Logano kind of did that.
Yeah, kind of, but we need it again. Yeah, we need one good Harvick. We need him to piss Harvick off and let Harvick come over and show him how to be happy.
Newman, maybe.
Newman.
Heck, that might have almost come to fruition Sunday, the way that Newman was racing him there.
Good. Thank you, Newman.
To go a lap down. I do want to talk down that road a little bit, too, so let me know when you're...
Yeah, go ahead. I got a little fired up there, and I apologize.
What did you think about that ending there when Larson was coming up through the lap traffic, Kyle Busch was coming up through lap traffic. They were trying to navigate through Stenhouse and Newman and Kurt Busch.
And they were racing for position,
and they
right?
were racing hard.
Okay, so I know what you're asking here. So you're asking, what's my thoughts about these guys going to lap down, racing the leaders hard as
mm-hmm,
they did?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, Lugs, let's say you're a racer, okay? Do I pay you just for pulling over to side and getting
no.
passed?
Hell
no. Do you take pride in pulling over and just getting passed?
Hell no.
Or do you take pride in making it, in running your hardest that you can every single race?
Bingo.
Exactly. So I think maybe, okay, so let's say Newman's there all by himself and not for position.
Then that's
move
different.
Out of the way.
Yeah.
If you're racing for position, you screw everybody else on the track. You're not worried about them.
Yeah.
You're worried about you and gaining because every
the
point
best
counts.
Best result that you can get, absolutely. I did see, though, and I didn't catch it when I was watching the race live, but I did see the replay, actually today, the Race Hub was talking about it a little bit, but did you see Stenhouse
you
get into...
You see Race Hub a lot on this
I do.
Podcast. We're not promoting that show.
Stenhouse...
They're dumb. They put
quit.
Dale Senior as fifth on the list.
That was 15 weeks ago. So the Stenhouse, when he got into Kyle Busch... Did you see that? And then he kind of went up the track, and then that really helped Larson swoop
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, a little bit, right.
So, I didn't even notice that during the race.
They didn't really talk about
it. No, they didn't. So, that was pretty ballsy on Stenhouse. I mean, I don't know if it was intentional. Probably not. But I just was kind of threw me for a loop when I went back and saw it.
Maybe he should have hit him a little harder.
That would have, yeah, would have been really real nice. But that those last three laps were fantastic. And hat tip to Dale Jr., man. I really enjoyed yeah. his commentary this weekend. Like
it's like a kid being excited about the race. And maybe we need that.
He took it to a new level, man. And it wasn't just that part there where the last three laps he was hooting, hollering, and screaming, but there was one point, I think they were on the helmet cam with Denny Hamlin, and they were going around the track full speed, and he was like, all right, up here. He's like, there's a huge set of bumps, and right then Hamlin hits it. You could tell the helmet shook. He's like, dude, he's like, when you're in the car, he's like, you hit those bumps, it's like you drove off a staircase. He's like, it just, you can't really see what it's like here on TV. He's like, but it's like you just drove your car off a staircase. And it's just cool to get that kind of analogy. It's not something that you...
You don't watch NFL, right?
Not too really. Much, no.
So Tony Romo, previous quarterback for the Cowboys, went to the booth and people praised him because he could look at the defense and look at the offense and call what the play was going to be before they hiked the ball. And he was so clairvoyant on it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how Junior was. Junior was laying things out and in a format. One, for us as fans, we're like, wow, we get actually get to, instead of just hearing Darrell Waltrip's, you know, his most recent race was 35 years ago, a little outdated.
Yeah.
As kind of exaggeration, I get it, fans. But maybe 20 years ago for Darrell Waltrip. But regardless, it's more up to date.
Was that the Western Auto Parts number 17?
Tide 17, Western Auto Parts. He drove the Army car, didn't he, for a couple races because somebody got hurt. Who was it, Martin Martin or somebody got hurt? The one car.
I don't remember Waltrip driving that, though.
I thought he did. No, maybe it was. Well, no, I'm pretty sure he did for just a couple of races. Maybe he took over for Steve Park when Steve Park got hurt. Anyway, I can't remember now.
That may have happened.
Maybe I can't remember now. I'm showing my age a little bit, and I apologize, folks. But essentially what I'm getting to is that I think the Waltrips have run their course in the announcing booth. And I understand they're a different channel than what NBC the Junior's on. But I think Junior might be more the new era for the kind of announcers. Not only was he bringing that outlook to the race, he was actually very casual. Dressed casual, acting casual. It's just nice seeing like an everyday dude doing this instead of, you know, these people who think they're wearing these suits with these floral ties and everything else like the Waltrips do.
Yeah,
absolutely. But it was definitely great. Did you see before the race, I posted a picture on our Facebook about the socks that Dale Jr. was wearing?
No.
Yeah, so he made a comment on Twitter about, I was told that I better bring my A game to the sock game for the, I guess they like have a competition each weekend who can have the best socks. So he showed up with Michael Jackson Thriller socks.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was funny.
That's awesome. But yeah, they just took it to a whole new level. So props to NBC and Dale Jr. and everybody. They did a good job on their first race.
Did you see the cam of Harvick's feet?
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty neat too. Yeah. Getting to see like how he throttled it and stuff like that. It's just a different outlook.
So I haven't seen that. It came a long time. Step up your game.
Yeah,
it's only been one race, and I feel like they're already way ahead of where Fox was.
And someone made the comment. I can't remember who it was. Maybe Steve Letarte. Someone made the comment like, "Wow, they bring Dale Jr. in his first race and the best finish of the year."
Yeah. Right.
So. Definitely a good race. I don't want to spend much more time talking and beating down Kyle about what happened. It is what it is. He won the race. Larson finished second. This again, I absolutely expect what he did. I have no problem with it. My problem is the way he treats the fans.
Absolutely.
Yep. So a couple other takeaways from the race itself. You know it's a rough day when you pull into the pits and your brakes are on fire. And that happened to Austin Dillon. So he didn't have a very good result. He actually
37th.
Yeah, 37th.
Yeah.
And I do want to call out Alex Bowman.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah. So good job to Bowman being a top Hendrick car. Not too bad. You want to talk about what were our picks this week?
Oh, I knew you were going to go there. Go ahead.
People. I had Larson, who finished second, and my dark horse was Eric Jones, that finished sixth. That's a pretty good average, my friend.
It was. That's pretty good.
How about you?
Who do I have? I don't even remember who I had.
Harvick and... Was it Harvick or Truex?
No, I had Harvick because I said he was going to have vengeance for finishing second or getting
and Chase
snaked
Elliott.
By Truex. Yeah, yeah. Chase was my... and Chase killed me because he finished 19th, so... He started the race out good, but I don't know what happened to him.
There's several people who actually had a really good race that ended up crapping out the end. There's a couple people who were having a crappy race that really rebounded and did well.
Yeah.
Like a Clint Bowyer.
So Johnson came home 14th. Menard 13th after starting on the pole. That was a good, you know, solid run for them.
I thought Blaney started on the pole.
No.
Was it Menard?
It was Menard.
What am I thinking? I was thinking Blaney for some reason.
Just because he drove the car last year, probably.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. But it came home 13th. Let's see. Any other notables there?
The Weatherman. And I'm not talking about Bowyer. There's actually a guy named Weatherman.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who he is, but okay.
Good job to Weatherman.
And Blaney, man. I kind of expected more from Blaney. Qualified well. He was, showed some speed in the race and practice, but ended up coming home 18th. So I don't know, you know, exactly what happened there. But not the way to rebound after Sonoma having power steering issues.
Right. So call out to Joey Logano, another top 10. That guy's really raking him off, man. He's still in third in points.
Yeah, but
quiet season for him. But, quiet but deadly.
But was behind Martin Truex Jr.
Martin's not going to pass him in the points this year.
What?
Not true points. Maybe playoff.
It doesn't matter. The points don't matter. It's all about the playoffs.
So anyway, good job to Dale Jr. for his first announcing race.
You know what I actually expected after that race yesterday? I expected, and maybe this is me giving too much credit to Kyle, but I figured he was going to go on Twitter and put a flame suit on and start mocking people on there like he did a couple weeks ago. But he didn't do that, I don't think. He actually put out a positive tweet this morning.
Okay. Positive towards Larson and about the race?
Yeah,
you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
But not towards the fans.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
But
okay.
I thought he would go on there and start mocking fans and, you know, he
at least he didn't call his team pieces of crap. And
again.
Yeah, again, exactly. Like he did with his truck team. Just there's his attitude, man, just really rubs people the wrong way. People really do want to do the right thing and see people do the right thing, even though, like I said, the political environment is dividing this American
country.
Society right now. However, people do want the right thing and good things. And I think the fans showed that with the way mm-hmm. they booed him. Mm-hmm. And I think he can't complain. He once called them crybabies. It's his fault for being a crybaby that people are booing him.
I agree.
Any other news? I got Haley Deegan finished second in the K&N West race.
Oh, yeah? That's
yeah.
Good for her.
We talked about her a couple weeks ago on our episode. So, yeah, good up-and-coming star. The next Danica, but probably better.
Well, the 10 car did lead the most laps it's ever led.
Yeah.
In one race versus all of one season last year. So.
Yeah, at one point in the race, they said Eric Almirola already led more during that one race than they did in the last 3 years combined.
3 years, okay, yeah. So, no, actually, Chicagoland was up 14%. Viewership was up 14% already.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and considered the fact that this was the kickoff chase race last year, that even makes it even more impressive because it's not a chase race this year. So, you know, I would think more people would tune in for the start of the chase and the very first race and all that. So to have 14% up, I wonder how much of that attributed to NBC and Dale Jr.
That's a good question. I don't know. We'll see if that sustains a little bit.
I think it will, especially going into Daytona.
Yeah, and talking about Daytona, guess who will be at Daytona next week?
Who?
Us. So fans, folks, if you're listening, please email us questions. Email us if you're going to be at Daytona. Maybe we can meet up with you. We will have freebies.
Yeah, and get it. If there's cool stuff we need to check out, let us know.
Yeah, I've never been at Daytona.
Where's the sweet spot at Daytona? It's been 15 years since I've been there, and I know they've overhauled it and everything. But
we're going to get to see Clint Bowyer do a Q&A. We're going to get to go eat some barbecue because we got the Clint Bowyer package, right?
Yeah, yep.
Looking so forward to this. Super excited. We are, just kind of give you our itinerary like that matters. We're going to be in late Thursday nights. That means we're going to be spending all day Friday, all day Saturday at the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be co-mingling with the fans. We're going to be meeting, well, hopefully meeting new fans and meeting maybe some of the fans who've already heard from us. So, if you once again, if you're going to be at Daytona, please let us know.
Another
WreckingRacing@gmail.com, WreckingRacing.com.
Actually, there's 41 teams entered this weekend.
Holy smokes!
41.
Yeah, we're going to send someone home. Shocking. Because we only got 39 this week.
Yeah.
So we can only hit...
It'll probably be the car we sponsored.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So if you guys don't see the car that we sponsor, it's probably because Ross Chastain is driving it. That watermelon,
it
man.
Didn't make speed.
Yeah. Oh, he owns a watermelon farm. That's
oh,
what I
thanks
said
for that info, because yeah. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Do you know today whose birthday it is today?
Today is July the 2nd. I do not.
It's Richard Petty's.
Oh, okay.
Oh. The king.
The king.
Tell me how you really feel, Gas Man.
So, the king. Happy birthday, king. You know, yeah. Hell singer, you're still better.
Oh, gosh.
Least on my top 10
so,
list.
Chew on this. And I know what you're going to say as soon as I say... Who made the statement? You're going to just giggle like a schoolgirl. But there's a particular ex-stock car driver that says Gibbs is the best team right now.
I heard that. I freaking heard that.
Do you know
that.
Who said it?
Ty Bodine. I heard that. I about fell on the floor laughing because that's a bunch of BS. He was out of touch as a racer. He's out of touch on that comment.
I would agree.
Stuart Haas.
Yeah,
there's no
absolutely.
Way you can argue against Stuart Haas
absolutely,
right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a team overall, absolutely.
What is his philosophy? I didn't hear the philosophy behind it, but why would he say,
I don't know.
Joe Gibbs is the best team right now? Because there's nothing to prove that.
I don't know, because you've got...
Five wins compared to 7 wins.
So let's lay it out. Suarez was 11th, Jones was 6th, Kyle obviously won. Hamlin was 7th. So
this race day were okay.
Yeah, everybody was in the top 11. Whereas Stuart Haas wasn't, but you know, every single car for Stuart Haas was up there contending at some point.
So for points, we have Harvick in 2nd, we have Bowyer in 6th, we have Almirola in 11th,
Kurt Busch 7th.
And yeah, Kurt's in 7th. So, worst place of the Stuart Haas cars and points is the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe Gibbs. Okay, we got Kyle Busch at 1. All right. Danny Hamlin, 8th. Okay. Eric Jones, 14th. Daniel Suarez, 18th.
Yeah.
What? He's dumb. What the hell was he thinking? What, I mean, was he smoking a little crack? Has he been around Jeremy Mayfield before he made that kind of prediction?
Maybe he'll call in and talk to you.
That's fine. Please do. We'd love to have you.
After you just insulted him. Yeah. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, we would. We would absolutely would.
We
would love
really
to have
would, it. Actually.
Yeah, we would love to have any racer. Now, actually, just to be honest, I reached out to the ARCA PR guy trying to get someone on here, and I have not heard anything back from him. He's ignored my email.
Maybe it's, you know.
We're still up and coming. We need more fans, so we have to.
It was
leverage.
A race weekend, I'm sure. They're busy. They'll get to you.
Yeah.
Another interesting tidbit of information. Did you hear this? Denny Hamlin said, weekday races are coming.
What? I did not hear that.
Yeah.
And that is dumb.
You're really negative Nancy today.
Kyle Busch got me all worked
up. You know,
up.
You should be really positive. You're going to Daytona this weekend.
I love it. And I got that email from Dan. It's awesome. But stupid comments like that. And maybe he's right, but I'm not looking forward to that if that's the case.
Well, I can read you what he said
here.
Yes,
please do.
It was actually in last week's edition of Dale Jr. Download, which I'm surprised you don't have.
I did not listen to that. I seen that Hamlin was on the show, but I did not see that.
Yeah,
I did not listen to it.
So it's going on between the Drivers' Council is what basically it's in discussion now. But he did divulge that he's part of a different secret council now. But he has met with industry leaders, track presidents, team presidents, and NASCAR. He said, I feel they gave us a great platform to go in there and speak our minds and tell them about the schedule.
Okay, but it's secret, but it's a great platform.
The question was raised, can we get some midweek races going on? How can we do that? Let's start it now. So there will be some big things on the horizon. I see it within the next couple of years. You will see something on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I don't understand.
It's a bold statement.
It is, absolutely. But he's part of a secret council, like the Justice League or something, it sounds like. Is he Batman?
The super douche.
He said that, not me. And who's being Negative Nancy now?
Just kidding.
So, I don't know.
Don't offend any Hamlin
fans. Yeah, I know.
No,
we love all racers, even the ones we don't like. We love them. So, I don't understand. I know they're saying that they compete less with other sports and stuff during that time, which is, yes, that's the case. It just won't feel right. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, I'm busy doing other crap. I really solidify a weekend day for racing.
I just think there needs to be more night races.
Saturday night. Make them all Saturday night.
Yeah.
Okay.
I spend less money when there's Saturday night races.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Instead of going out and drinking, the bars getting wasted, and then going to the strip club, you can stay home and watch.
I don't do any of those things. Maybe that's what you do, but.
Maybe well, back in the day.
Maybe that's what you're going to do in Daytona. I don't know.
Hey, you know, Daytona's a party, right? I'm gonna have a good time in Daytona. Very good time.
You do have quite the array of verbiage on some of your shirts for this weekend.
For the ones who've seen, I have I already mentioned it, the Kyle Busch dumps more dudes than Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I won't say my other one. Not on air. If you see me wearing it, great.
Guys, I'll take a picture and upload it. Don't worry.
Yeah, there you go.
Keep your eyes peeled on Instagram.
Thankfully, my daughter cannot read.
Which is weird because she's, what, 13?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, more like 18. No, my daughter is 7. She's Gary going second grade. She can read a little bit. She just can't read some of the words I had on my shirt. And that's okay.
All right, so just keep your eyes peeled on her Instagram
or
our Twitter, and you'll see a picture this weekend,
sure.
I promise
you. We're going to see a lot of pictures this weekend.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a weekend, and we really hope to see some of you there.
Hopefully the weather's going to be good.
Yeah, it looks a little shady right now, but we'll see. It's Florida, but it could be hit and miss.
Yeah, there's this thing about Florida. It's hard to – so many pop-up showers. You know, I think every day in Florida there's a chance of rain, so it's could be
– Oh, Dan, I'm sorry to cut you off. Dan say he's coming to the States to go to Talladega and Bristol.
Mm.
Dan, go into the infield of Talladega, take you a bunch of beer, and you're going to have an amazing time. It is a party at Talladega. We talked about that episodes ago.
That it is.
It is definitely a fantastic time. You'll love it. You'll get a lot of hospitality down there, too.
All right, what else you got?
I don't have anything else.
All right, well, let's talk about picks for Daytona.
Yeah.
Shooting in the dark.
Buddy. So did you go last weekend?
I did.
Okay, so I'm going first, yep. Right? Ooh, buddy. All right, so my picks for Daytona is, ready?
Let me guess. You're picking Keselowski.
No, I'm not. I gave up on Keselowski. He's going to be my first one of the winners who haven't won yet, and he hasn't won. I gave up on him. Anyway, I digress. My pick is, I'm going on a limb here, Kevin Harvick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dark horse, Eric Almirola.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, that's actually probably not a bad.
So I'm going for a Stuart Haas weekend.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm picking Chase. Chase is my number one pick, man. I think he always flexes muscle here.
Maybe he should wear a hat for good luck or something.
At the restrictor plate tracks, he always flexes muscle. He can get it done. He just, like the last two races, man, he made just two balls to the wall moves too early and crashed out. So he just needs to stay calm and cool and collect himself.
Stay calm and race on. I should make that on my shirt.
That could be a good shirt, too.
Yeah.
My dark horse is Stenhouse.
I almost chose Stenhouse. Almost. I just can't. I have a hard time backing Stenhouse.
Defending race winner.
Yeah, I almost went with him. I mean, it's a very good possibility.
Anybody has a pretty good possibility, Absolutely. Let's be honest. So But that's all I've got. So, fans, if you're going to be down there, come find us. We will be at the, I think we're going to go to the Xfinity Series race.
I'm sure we
Friday
will.
Friday night.
So. I don't think we have tickets yet, but we will.
No.
I'm sure they're not going to be sold out.
We'll see what, make sure the weather is going to be good for that race. We've already got tickets for the Cup race.
Yeah,
so
worst case,
we're
just
going
to hang out with
there.
Some fans. If you're out in like the campgrounds or just out hanging out, tailgating or something, let us know. We'll come by and have a beer with you.
Yeah, tweet us. We'll find you.
Yeah, tweet us, Facebook us,
email,
put some messages in our DM, or you know what the kids say? I don't know. I hear this stuff about DMs all the time. I don't know.
BMs?
DMs.
Oh, okay.
Not bowel movements. I'm BMs. Old, but I ain't that old.
BMs, that's a different thing than a DM.
Yeah. Direct messaging, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm way too old. So, Ian, fans, thank you very much. We love you, and we will talk to you, well, throughout the week.
Throughout the week.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.